8:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. This is why I love Tuesdays. The only reason I love Tuesdays. That's right. It's Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. What's going on, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
Doing well, man. Joint practice today out at One Winning Drive. This is the interesting thing about it. They're leading to their first preseason games, and fans are going to look at their preseason game and be disappointed that they don't see a lot of the starters. These starters actually probably play a lot today.
Yeah, they'll play a good amount today, and they won't play at all on Thursday. But I think for the young players, this is 2 days of the next three are among the biggest five of their professional lives. The guys who are on the fringe of the roster and just having a chance to make the team and might not and might never get another chance after this. That's always possible because it's a 90-man roster, and next year there's a whole fresh class of players coming out. This is critically important. You can't be injured during this. You can't have soft tissue injuries. You got to be out there showing what you have. And the practice itself, I think, will be interesting. They really need to avoid fights is one of the big things. They've had a problem with that in past joint practices. And I think that that's one big thing they should try.
Boys will be boys.
You know, but I guess I'm glad you said this, though, because I said this when I did the promo yesterday. I think this is the most valuable part of a training camp, because you got a different color helmet opposite you. Guys go a little harder. They want to prove, and they do drills with each other. They don't just go, you know, scrimmage. They actually do drills. I saw when they did it with the Jaguars, I think it was, I saw Pat Ricard level Miles Jack twice, level him in one-on-ones. And to me, you get a lot out of watching these drills, and because they're going at it. It's not their teammates. I love this part of camp, and I'm excited about this today.
Yeah, you know, the one-on-ones are a great one, especially if you get to see the running back, linebacker blocking drills. That's the best.
That was it. That was the one.
That's fantastic. When they do that, the Ravens do that with themselves. Even just they have the take care of each other mentality, but that's a hard run drill. They do a handshake line afterwards. It's one of the weirdest things you'll see in camp.
They learn from hockey.
Now, real quick, Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com is joining us. Do we see a world where either all of or more preseason games are eliminated and we have more joint practices? Because I believe, personally, teams get more out of joint practices than they do those games.
I think there's debate there. I think playing real games is good also. But I think we will go down to two games, an 18-game schedule, and I think it makes sense to have two and two, meaning two preseason games and two joint practices each preceding those. I think that might become a trend across the entire NFL.
I would love that.
Yeah. The Ravens, you know, they used to have two-day practices with teams. That's too long to spend with an opponent that you get bad blood with on the first day. So it's, I think, the one-day method that Harbaugh has come up with this year, really positive.
Just, you know, the NHL's already done this. The season is now 84 games to 82, and now they eliminated some preseason games. So I bet that's exactly what's going to happen here. One of the biggest controversies that we've had or concerns was the oddest position was kicker. What do you think about them just, you know, carrying one kicker now? Tyler Loop's got the job, apparently.
Yeah, I think when Loop made the 63-yard field goal about a week ago now, I said that moved the needle by a lot. And and if you thought it was 90% before, now it's 95 or 97. The battle was essentially over. It's not that Hoyland was a terrible kicker. The only thing left to be decided was, did the Ravens want to hold on to Hoyland and try and scavenge some salvageable value for him, like the way they did with Kari Vedvik, and get rid of him at the end of camp.
I mentioned him yesterday.
Yeah, good chance Hoyland will be kicking somewhere this year. And if there's a team willing to give you a draft pick, it's worth carrying him on the 90. I would say
we got a lineman for Vedvik.
We got a draft pick, but then I think
turned into an offensive lineman. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'll have to look back at that. I've forgotten now.
Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, how is this thing working out with the variation of the cadences that Monkey wants to incorporate?
So there's a lot of back and forth about this, and honestly, it's a topic of some sensitivity at the podium, we've noticed. But the truth of the matter is the Ravens are trying very hard to install a more complex cadence system, and the benefit of that is that the defense will not be coming out of the starting blocks in a race, the pass rush in particular, to get downhill mm-hmm. on obvious passing downs. And if they run it a little bit different, they could actually have an increase in false start penalties, and they'd still gain in mm-hmm. terms of the defense not getting out of the blocks quickly. So you know, that's going to be one of the misunderstood things. Like somebody will probably look at the end of the season, and well, look, false start penalties were up 10% anyway, and you know how do the Ravens possibly benefit from this complex cadence? Well, that's how it would happen. And the other penalties that they potentially need to work on are much more serious: the offensive holding, illegal downfield penalties, and the roughing the passer. We haven't got a chance to see that yet. Because roughing the passer, you're not allowed to hit the quarterback, and illegally downfield, Lamar isn't on the field, and Lamar isn't on the field mm-hmm. versus a competitive group that's trying to get after him. And that means you don't have the offensive lineman probably releasing in the same way they would. But the false starts, it's really been tough sledding at camp for the offense. They've lost 4 of the 5 days of scored practice, and it's largely, or a portion of it, is due to these false starts. I think that they're gaining trial by fire experience with it, and it'll eventually pay off.
To answer the question I raised, Joe just told me, they traded with the Vikings. They flipped the pick to the Jaguars, got Calais Campbell.
Nice.
For Vedvik.
Yep.
Yeah. Think about that for a second. Pretty cool. We're talking about penalties. This is not Ravens-centric, but I just now that you raised it, we talked about the different things that happen, men downfield. Should that even be a penalty anymore, illegal man downfield? Because sometimes, you know, quarterbacks are running, linemen's a yard, half a yard past the line of scrimmage. Doesn't impact the play at all, really. Like, why do they still call this?
Well, there are multiple problems here. The one is that the 1 yard is supposed to be a grace zone, and they don't give it to him. But oftentimes what I see is that the defensive player will, particularly with a lineman who's vulnerable to push-pull moves, gets out over his feet, he'll get thrown into level two, mm-hmm. and that'll be that'll be called.
Yeah.
But offensive linemen, just with Lamar Jackson, and I hear it said that Lamar Jackson is somehow responsible for these because he there's his run pass options that he doesn't get the ball out on time.
Absolutely, who else is?
It's really garbage. I mean, the offensive linemen need to be responsible for that anyway, which means the Ravens, because they have Lamar and they don't want to change who Lamar is, need to have offensive linemen who are basically looking backwards before they get out into level two. And by the way, whatever they can do in terms of a block is a very minimal value relative to what Lamar Jackson gives the Ravens from behind the line of scrimmage on those extended plays.
And by the way, Ken, when I say absolutely, I'm not giving blame to Lamar.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's because of Lamar. Yeah. I'm not blaming him. He's just a different dude. And sometimes when you're that different, it's the gift and the curse.
Yeah.
And that would be one of the curses of having a guy that different. Ken McCusick will join us on the other side. And Ken, I want to ask you, the Ravens added a guy by the name of Jaire Alexander. I love him. What impact has he made already on this football team? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Connell, Medical Leave, joining us right now from filmstudybaltimore.com. He is Ken McCusick. Ken, I think swagger could be overrated if you're not talented enough. However, I think if you have so much talent, you need a guy who's a talented guy who has some swagger, who kind of reminds you, hey, let's have some fun. In my opinion, from the outside looking in, that's Jaire Alexander.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has said that about him. The personality is huge. Somebody's at the podium, I don't remember who it was, who said, Jaire is one of one and Marlon two. Which means you're not one of one. But you know, those guys are both kind of in a different universe.
And, they are, and I love that about them because they're good on top of that. I mean, it's not like you're not just a strange dude, but when you are good and strange, then you're unique.
Yeah.
What's the reaction? I didn't see it. I heard Jaire picked off Lamar twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the reaction when that happens?
Oh, I mean, the defense goes crazy for any turnover, but they were louder than normal for the second one of those two. Mm-hmm. It was a really loud moment there, but they love him clearly. And you think back to the 2000 Ravens, that team swaggered around this league like they owned the place. Uh-huh. And they did.
Yeah.
That was great.
All right. Anyway, what about one of the guys I was really interested in, and no shock here, the running back, Keaton Mitchell? Because, I mean, Derrick Henry is, I think, he is the king to me. I just couldn't be happier when they signed him. But Mitchell brings something that they don't have or hadn't had in quite a long time, and I heard he's looking – really good right now, faster than ever. Like, how's he look to you?
Yeah, to me, he's the Ravens' best player in camp, period.
Really?
I was asked about stock up, stock down, and it was an easy choice for me. Keaton Mitchell is the single best player in camp. And they've had some great defensive efforts and whatnot. One of the things that's helping Keaton Mitchell, he's extremely fast.
Right.
He's cutting like I've never, you know, like he did in 23. The other thing is his transition from catch to run after the catch has been fantastic. One of the things that's happening is when Cooper Rush is in the game, the second string is in. And then that includes Keaton Mitchell, just because Hill and Henry generally are the two who play with the ones, and then it's Mitchell and Ali who play with the twos. Not to give away anything significant here involved here, but when that happens, Mitchell is a magnet for the ball. Cooper Rush wants to get him the ball on every play. Oh, there's a run to Mitchell. Oh, we got to get a pass to him. You know, and it's nobody else is getting nearly the number of chances they would normally get, and Mitchell just looks unbelievable with the ball in his hands.
According to this indie game, as we have Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com, what's the team looking like in terms of health?
I'd say they're in pretty good health. You know, oftentimes this year you have something that significant that's happened. Our Darius Washington obviously is not a good situation, nor is likely. But the back end of the cornerback roster is back largely healthy. Robert Longerbeam has missed a couple of days, and I'm hopeful that he'll be back for this practice. For this practice today, and then for the game, because these are two of the five big days for him. Like we said, Kone and JAD came back. Each of them had some flags in the stadium practice. I think Kone had two, and JAD had one. TJ Tampa's healthy. He's a guy who I would have said there was no way the Ravens would give up on him at the beginning of camp, and maybe they're still in that position. But he's their fifth cornerback at best right now, and honestly, he hasn't looked that great in camp to me. So we got that. The safeties are all healthy. They look like they're ready to have a big competition. If you're looking for what to watch on TV, if you can watch the safety play, those three guys, and I'm talking about Braid, Kane, and Lowry, are three guys that I'll be very interested to see, both in the joint practice and the game.
Ed, I'm a Robert Longerbeam fan.
I'm sure. everyone besides us, I mean, nationally, the Ravens roster is ranked pretty much as number one in the NFL. There's some people pick the Eagles, but it's one or two. It's one of the best in the league. Therefore, what jobs are up for grabs if it's so good?
Not much.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So wide receiver, quarterback, running back, fullback, inside linebacker, defensive line really have no openings. They picked up Brent Urban, and he's honestly the sixth man in of a five-man group, so he's good insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Might fit in at the top of the practice squad if they needed him to. Could be a handshake guy. A whole lot of little options they have in terms of manipulating him onto the roster or just on the outside of it. But, you know, they've got a safety spots 3 and 4 are now currently up between two players. The three I just mentioned, I should say, and two will get jobs. I believe could even be all three will stay. But that's one area. The 10th offensive lineman is something Harbaugh has dangled out as something that they may not keep. I don't believe there's any real chance they'll do that because they have Carson Vinson on the roster. It means you have a player who's not going to see action this year, a developmental player. And I think that means they really have to carry 9 others to make 8 each week, a 9-to-make-8 group, which is a healthy way to run your offensive line and the typical way it's done. You know, they have the third tight end. And if you think the Scotty Washington, Zaire Mitchell-Payton competition is a really big deal, you've got that. And the 6th outside linebacker, there's been a lot of talk about keeping both Ajabo and Adisa Isaac, and I honestly don't see it. I think it'll be one or the other, and they'll make that decision at the end of camp, and it could involve a soft cut where one of them goes to IR. But I think if health holds up at that position group, I think one of them will go.
Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Padded practices so far this year. That's to me the real measure of what you have. How have they look so far?
Yeah. So their score, the padded practices go through this offense defense score, and the Suggs era Ravens, the defense just loved it. They completely bought into it, and they're still hanging around with that. They watch the scoreboard a little bit. They get excited about a Jair Alexander interception, which changes the way it goes. The offense has only won one of those practices, and that was at the stadium on Sunday. So it's been pretty one-sided again this year. A little part of it is some Lamar Jackson inaccuracy early in camp, but a lot of it's the backup quarterback play has just not been all that good, and that's held the Ravens offense back.
What else should people be looking at? Any veterans like Lindebaum was they didn't extend him, and that was a big discussion. Like, why not? Is he, you know, because I think he's pretty indispensable. It's, you know, it's a faceless position, but I think he's really important because we've had problems with center before, bouncing balls to Lamar and things like that. So what about guys who need to be extended and kept on the team?
So there's four big ones right now that are outstanding, that are extensions that have to be done, well, I guess by the end of the season, you'd say, but I think really by the beginning of the season, in the case of Linderbaum. Likely they have the option of a franchise tag in 2026. It's fairly cheap, so they may be able to defer that. Particularly if they had concerns about his health, but if they don't have concerns about his health, there's no reason not to make the deal now. Travis Jones is enormous. I mean, he's the guy the Ravens defense has to have. There's nobody else that can do what he does to be on the field on third down and be as effective as he is. And then Kyle Hamilton, of course, is going to be the highest paid safety in the league. They're committed to that one. I think the price has to be right on Linderbaum for them to make that signing. And there's a contract that gums up the works out. It's the Cam Jurgens contract in Philadelphia at $17 million AAV, which is too high relative to the $18 million AAV that Creed Humphrey gets, who is by far the best center in the league. And it makes it hard to put a value on a player like Linderbaum, who I agree is tremendously important to the Ravens.
Ken McCusick, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore and your podcast.
Appreciate it. The camp review episodes come up after each practice. I give you a little tease for them out on Twitter, but they're out there on filmstudybaltimore.com. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter, and we'll have the first articles of the year, the analysis of the first preseason game of the Colts, where I look at every single defensive player on Friday and every single offensive player on Saturday who is on the fringe of the roster.
There you go. Ken, you are the man. Thanks a lot, my friend.